Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. There are loaded words in all languages, from swear words to sacrilegious words to simply crass words. Most of us know them but refrain from using them, at least in public discourse. Most of them can't even be said at all on the radio. But our next guest wants us all to have a conversation about one of the most weighted words in English, the N-word. Jade Solomon Curtis is a dancer and choreographer who's based in Seattle. On Wednesday evening, she'll bring her evening-long multimedia meditation on the N-word to the Marcus Center's Vogel Hall. It's called Black Like Me, and the central question she wants answered is, can this word be redeemed? WUWM's race and ethnicity reporter Taryn Powell and I reached Solomon Curtis at her home in Seattle via Skype, and we asked her what prompted her to tackle the N-word.
I always like to kind of preface this by saying that I am a Texas-born, Florida-raised young lady, and I grew up with that word being surrounded around me in my family and within my community. And it was always a word that was negative. It had a lot of weight to it, but still I heard it in music and used in my community. I later, through dancing and performing, I moved to Seattle and living in what a lot of people deemed to be a very progressive and liberal neighborhood. I was called a while walking down the street by a white identifying man. And for me in that particular instance, I really started to question why this word was acceptable, quote unquote, inside of my community. And the moment that it was said to me outside of my community, I felt I had a violent reaction. And so I wanted to explore that. And so I started to make this work. But then also during this time period, I am also a dance educator and I teach dance classes, particularly here in Seattle. And this was around the time of Mike Brown's murder. And now you can insert several different Black bodies that have fallen. And I realized that a lot of my students weren't being put in a place where they felt comfortable to have these kind of conversations surrounding race and how they were being affected. And so I took the opportunity to engage with my students in that capacity. And so out of that came this work and particularly the process for creating this work.
So describe the process. Is it collaborative?
It very much is. I am definitely the person with the kind of general ideas in terms of coming up with artistically how I would like for things to look. But my collaborators are the ones who go out and execute and bring that vision to light. The process is a long and also somewhat difficult process because it's forcing me to really figure out how I can heal along the way and all of the kind of the discovery that I'm having and also the conversations that I'm having with a lot of different people, ranging from ages 9 to 86. And so really being able to process that and bring that into the work, but also understanding that this is a very long and, again, deep and sometimes a complicated conversation to have. And because of all of those layers, I think that it requires a various different what I call insertion points into the work. And so understanding that and keeping that in mind for the process, I think, was just the forefront of everything that I did.
I was just wondering if your relationship to the word changed throughout the process.
Yes, and that it was never a word that felt right rolling off of my tongue. It was never something that I could digest. I think that the more historical context that I had around the word, the more conversations that I had with people and their experience with the word, the more that my position became solidified in that I believe that the word cannot be redeemed and transformed. It is one that is blood soaked and cannot be cleaned.
So who were some of those people that you had those conversations with? I know you were saying you opened the space for your dance students, but was it mm-hmm. also with the people you collaborated with on this show?
Yeah, so it's a mixture of a couple of different people, definitely with my artistic collaborators, in a lot of ways, in the ways that we were able to get to some of the visual elements came through conversations. And again, realizing that in order for people to really feel like they can be a part of the conversation, there has to be, again, multiple insertion points, multiple mediums in which they can engage in the conversation. And so some of these people were, again, young students, not just in my dance classes, but having performed this work and been in several different communities prior to coming to Milwaukee. We've had conversations with college students, with professors, with also presenters. And one who really influenced me, who's also on my team, his name is Walter Beach III. I think he turns 87 at the end of this week. But hearing the many stories and experiences that he went through and in his coming of age and how that word is still very much a trigger for him, it really, for me, contextualizes the word and the intensity behind it, and all of the kind of the negative connotations behind it. So some other people that I've spoken to include a someone who's currently writing a book about the effects of the word, and my moderator, who's also who you all may encounter as well. It's just been a wide range of people.
Do you find that white people come to the word in a different way? I imagine because it's never been thrown at them. It's usually the people who are throwing the word. But as you said at the beginning, you know, it's within your community too. So I imagine the uses are different.
I think yes and no. I think that at this time, and specifically when we think about, and I'm just going to use blanket kind of hip hop music, a lot of people feel like this word has, in a certain sense, been redeemed. It doesn't have the negative connotations associated with it anymore. And a lot of people believe that hip hop doesn't necessarily belong to a one particular, if you will, race of people. And so some people think it's, and white identifying people think it's okay for them to say, and some black people, I guess the term that people like to use is give white people a race card or a black card where they can use the word. Some people can use it, some people can. And I think there's two sides of it. There are white people who believe that the word should not be used. They understand kind of the historical context of it. And some people believe that it has been redeemed and that their black friends tell them that it's acceptable and it's okay.
Yeah, I that's kind of my understanding of it, too. And I mean, I grew mm-hmm. up at a time when it was absolutely, that word was not to be used.
You right.
know, in my house, in my life, and I'm white, and, you know, and I'm coming of it from an age where, you know, I remember Martin Luther King, and I remember the marches, and I remember all of that, and it was just not spoken. So I always had trouble with it, but felt I didn't have much to say about it when hip-hop and rap kind of started using it almost defiantly.
Sure.
Yeah, and so, you know, but it's still, every time I hear it, no matter who says it, it makes me twitch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's,
yeah, me too.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like that's where you ended up too.
Yes, very, very much so. I'm 33, and so I grew up listening to a lot of, I grew up listening to hip hop and rap music, and although my mom didn't allow us to play it in the house because the word was just so prevalent, it was something that, you know, growing up was hard to get away from, and I think that not having kind of the history behind it, the knowledge and the history behind it, it made it easier to be around. And I find that young people still aren't getting that kind of historical knowledge surrounding the word. And so they don't have any reason to object as to why it has any type of negative connotations associated with it, because they don't know.
I also, I'm 26, and mm-hmm. my mother, she was the same in that she didn't want to hear that rap music if that word was used. But I also see how people try to change the meaning. Like if it ends in an A, then it's okay. If it's ER, then that's when you know somebody's throwing it at you, meaning to be disrespectful.
Sure.
Who is this show for?
I think this is a global conversation because hip hop has been exported around the world. I think that my primary focus in creating the work was for young people. I wanted this to create a platform for young people to have these kind of conversations without the oversight of adults imposing their ideas on how they should think about things. I literally just want to present this from a, not necessarily just from an intellectual perspective, but very much from an emotional perspective about my experience with this word and again, provide a platform for young people. So, yeah, that's who the show's for.
It's interesting to me that, of course, you're a dancer and we're talking about a word and the language you're using, it's embodied rather than spoken necessarily. And I wonder how dancing it feels.
Ooh. It is a very complicated experience. To embody something, I think it transcends the space that it is in. And I think that what's most interesting is the integrated talkback that happens during the show, and the many different stimuli that affect that particular conversation. It is one that is, it's nuanced and it is different every time that I have ever performed this work. And it really depends on who's in the room and the energy that's in the space.
So in these talkbacks, what do you notice about audience members? How do they look to you?
I think the general consensus is most people are uncomfortable. But what I am asking audiences and participants to engage in is a conversation that I think that generally this country is not interested in having. I think that we are interested in kind of throwing Band-Aids and blankets over these kind of conversations and hoping that they will just somehow just disappear. And so what this work is doing is really asking people to expose and be really, really honest with not just themselves, but with everybody who's in the room. This is a very much a shared experience. So yes, uncomfortable, but I think by the end of it, I think that a lot of people walk away a lot more open, a lot more willing to be curious and to ask more questions.
I was going to say, it sounds like you're asking people to own it.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
How do you think this show is going to push this conversation around the N-word forward?
Particularly in a place like Milwaukee, which is so segregated.
Sure, sure. Well, I mean, you know what's... I think that I'm not that familiar with Milwaukee, so I'm not going to assume that I know that much about the community. But I think that Milwaukee is, you know, representative of a lot of American cities. And so in terms of pushing the conversation forward, oftentimes I don't think that there are not enough of Black and brown bodies that get into the theater and are part of these conversations from the very beginning. And I think that merely by being in the space with everyone together, that is a step in the right direction. I think that in order for this conversation to even be had, there has to be an acknowledgement and accountability in terms of how we all contribute to this greater conversation around racism and then language and how that inserts into the conversation. I don't have a solution. I don't think that many of us have a solution in terms of the how, but I think that the mere fact that there is a conversation being had and that we are seeing things from a different perspective is how this is moving forward.
I was going to say, you know, language is powerful, and one of the most powerful things that we can do is name things. And who gets to name is so important in a culture. Mm-hmm. Who's the person has the power to, you know, to name something? And so I understand that idea of trying to reclaim something so that it's your power that renames it. But I think, you know, I agree with your conclusion that this one is not something that can be reclaimed.
No, and I think that we should challenge ourselves and use our imagination to name ourselves with something that is that we don't have to necessarily subvert and transform. Use our imaginations to name ourselves with something, I guess, grander that isn't attached to lynchings and castrations and blood. Like I think that we are much more brilliant and capable than we think of ourselves.
Jade, it has been such a pleasure. Yeah. Thank you so much for your time.
It was great
talking to you,
Jade.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
WUWM's race and ethnicity reporter and I spoke with dancer and choreographer Jade Solomon Curtis via Skype. Solomon Curtis's evening-length multimedia performance, Black Like Me, takes place at the Marcus Center's Vogel Hall Wednesday evening. There's more information at WUWM.com.